So tonight's topic is officially Shmonim Upsis for Neres Chanukah and Neres Shabbos. That's where we'll begin, but we'll outsource a little bit and go a little bit past those regular parameters. I decided in honor of Chanukah, we should also go a little bit lighter, a little bit more leichter in Yanim, and we will go through a bunch of interesting points that have to do with lighting Chanukah candles and lighting Chanukah candles in our times and how that relates to the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, whether it does relate at all. So let's begin with this. There is a famous machlokas in the second parak of Shabbos, as many of us may have recently learned, a sugyo all about Chanukah, where the Gemara has a machlokas ha'amiraim. Do we say kavsa zakukla or kavsa ein zakukla? Do we assume if the person lights Chanukah licht and then they go out, must I relight them, or do we assume no? Halakha is a mitzvah. Once I lit my menorah, that's good enough, and I do not have to go ahead and light them again. So we paskin halacha lamaisa, kavsa ein zakukla. If a person lights the Chanukah candles once he lights them, that's good enough, and there is no need to go ahead and light them once again. So the question begs itself, what's the story with Erev Shabbos? What do we do on Erev Shabbos Chanukah when a person lights candles probably 25, 30 minutes before Shkia, maybe more than that, and then he goes to Shul and he's Mekabel Shabbos? Turns out that his candles went out before Shabbos even began. And we know that Chanukah really doesn't set in until it gets dark outside, just like every other Yantiv, just like every other Shabbos. The day doesn't begin until Shkia. But over here, I wasn't able to light after Shkia because it's already Shabbos. I lit before Shabbos. Yet, my Chanukah licht went out before Shabbos began. So that's the question. So let's get into this. So we discussed last week, it's a little bit of a continuation. We discussed last week a little bit about Tosefes Shabbos. We'll get to that in just 2 minutes. But let's first talk about the Ikar HaShaila. Should we assume that the same way we say Kavsa Ein Zakukla by any other day of the week, so too I should assume Kavsa Ein Zakukla when it comes to Shabbos? Well, what's my other option?
Get a goy.
Answer is either get a goy. Well, if I get a goy, would I be Mekayim my mitzvah of Halakas Neiris Shabbos? Halakas Neiris Chanukah? Probably not. So, there is an interesting Magen Avraham, if someone could just give a source sheet, one of the extra ones. So there is an interesting Magen Avraham that discusses asking a guy if a person forgot to light Shabbos candles. So is he able to ask a guy to light Shabbos candle? Which bracha would he make? Magen Avraham says, well, I can't really make a bracha. Lahavdik ner shel Shabbos, I'm not lighting. But we never find that a person makes a bracha when he doesn't do a Maisa HaMitzvah. So what should he do? The Magen Avraham's question is if a person forgets on a regular Shabbos. Here we're talking about a different case. Here I did the Maisa HaMitzvah, and now it goes out before Shabbos even begins. So that's the question. Should we assume Kapsa Ein Zakakla, or should we assume that no, a person...
You also want Shalom Bayis, so you want the lights...
No, we're talking about...
So Shalom Bayis is by Shabbos candles, but by Chanukah Licht, that's not Mishum Shalom Bayis. Fine, so that's the question. So this question, believe it or not, is a Shaila in the Chumas Hadeshen, in Simon Kuf Beis. The Chumas Hadeshen has the following Shaila, and let's read it together. It says the Chumas Hadeshen, Hadikai Malan, B'ner Chanukah, we paskin the following halacha when it comes to Neiris Chanukah, Kapsa Ein Zakakla. If a person's Chanukah candles go out, he does not have to go ahead and relight them. Ask the Chumas Hadeshen, Im Kavsa Be'erev Shabbos, Kodem Kabbalah Shabbos. Let's say I have a situation where a person lit Chanukah candles on Friday afternoon, and now the candles go out before Shabbos even sets in. So what should be the halacha there? Should we assume that once a person lights his Chanukah candles, his mitzvah is over, just like during the week his mitzvah is over, so to Erev Shabbos his mitzvah is over? Or should I assume there's a big difference, because during the week, once I light my Chanukah candles, I was Mekayim the mitzvah, but over here, if I lit them before Shabbos, so Chanukah didn't even begin. That night of Chanukah didn't even begin. So that's the Shaila and the Chumas Hadeshen.
You're assuming that you lit the candle during the week after...
After the Zman Hadlok. Right. Right.
What is with the... He's allowed to light it, no? I mean, the Shabbos is not starting yet.
I was Mekabel Shabbos, right? Well, if Shabbos didn't start, then why not? But, okay, so let's see. What does he say?
During the week, you already did the Maisa Mitzvah.
Right.
Erev Shabbos, we would consider Maisa Mitzvah, even though it was never the Man HaBakia.
So that's a good question. So that's exactly what he's going to raise in the answer. Says the Chumas Hadeshen as follows. Yira, it seems to me, De'ein Zakukla Afilu Ki Agavna. Says the Chumas Hadeshen, a fascinating Chiddush, that even if a person lights his Chanukah candles on Friday afternoon and he was Mekabel Shabbos, but Shabbos did not yet set in because he was Mekabel Shabbos early, still the Chumas Hadeshen says a person does not have to go ahead and relight the Chanukah candles. Even though we know a person is not supposed to light Chanukah candles before Shkia, Hainu tseisar klechavim lo kodem, or before tseis, whatever you're going to say. Mishum deshraga b'tira mayahanila, because what kind of business? How can I ever light candles in the middle of broad daylight outside? What does that do for anyone? V'im kein ikar mitzvahs ner chanukah, eina b'shas halakha mibod yom. Says the Shumas Hadeshon, how am I mekayim my mitzvah on Friday afternoon if they go out before Shabbos even begins? I didn't have the Chanukah candles burning at all after tseisar klechavim. Ela b'shir halakha shel acha chashecha hu kiyim my mitzvah. Therefore, says the Shumas Hadeshon, I would have said there's a big room to argue the point and say that when it comes to Friday afternoon, once a person lights his Chanukah candles, but if they did not make it into nighttime, obviously I'm not mekayim my mitzvah. However, says the Chumash Hadeshon, tremendous chiddush, that is not correct. Says the Chumash Hadeshon, Amna midim mevarchina mibod yom asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Says the Chumash Hadeshon, from the fact that we make a bracha on Erev Shabbos when we light, even though the mitzvah is not right now, the mitzvah is only going to be tonight, says the Chumash Hadeshon, akarcha chaynu taimer d'chashev kiyima esei behechsher mitzvah. Says the Chumash Hadeshon, obviously we have to be assuming, from the fact that I'm making a bracha on my mitzvah now, it must be that I'm mekayim the mitzvah already on Friday afternoon, even though shkia or tseis did not yet come in, and even though they go out before the nightfall sets in, we would assume a person is mekayim his mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. This is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. However, if you look in Shulchan Aruch Siman Tav Reish Ayin Gimel Sif Beis, this chiddush of the Shumas Hadeshon is quoted the halacha. Not only do we assume on a regular night, if a person's candles go out, he doesn't have to relight them. The same applies on Friday afternoon if a person lights candles way before Shabbos begins, and then he goes and he's mekabel Shabbos, the candles go out, a person would not have to go ahead and relight, which is a big chiddush. Most of us would have assumed.
Now, what would be even any day?
So what was that?
What's the difference if it's Erev Shabbos or Sunday?
What's the difference if it's Erev Shabbos or Sunday? Okay, so the difference is as follows. Generally, we would assume kavsa ein zakuk la, not chayiv. But when am I not chayiv? Only when they burnt a little bit. I lit my menorah, but they burnt a little bit at night.
No, but we're saying that it went out before nightfall.
Right.
On Friday. So if it went out on Sunday, we were going away.
Right.
You lit your candle on Sunday at 4 o'clock. And then it went out at 5.
I think you would have to light again.
Why wouldn't it be any different?
Why? Because
you're telling me that you get the mitzvah on Friday.
Right.
Once it went out, and you don't have to relight it, might not be new.
That's what we need to do.
It went out. So, interesting question. Interesting question. So let me be machalic like this. My father explained to me in the shot in this Chumash Hadeshon and then the Shulchan Aruch as follows. He said that you only have one chance to do a Maaseh HaMitzvah. The Torah never tells me you have to go ahead and all day long do Maaseh HaMitzvah. That's not the case. So a person does his Maaseh HaMitzvah once. When is the time when a person's supposed to do his Maaseh HaMitzvah on Friday in order to be mekayim his mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah? Friday afternoon, it has to be, right? After plag, person's going to light his Chanukah candles. So if it goes out, so what are you going to tell me to do? My Maaseh HaMitzvah is done, so I tried whatever I can do, and that applies also, like you're saying, that would also apply on Friday afternoon. However, we do have a din, just hang on one second, we do have a halacha. If a person's candles go out, and the candles are still there. Let's say I lit a long candle, and now it goes out after 10 minutes. But the whole candle is still there. I was planning on having it lit for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 5 hours, whatever it is. So if the candle is still there, so then we assume that is called a hemshich of the first Maaseh Hadlaka. If I go ahead and I light that same candle, that's considered a continuation of my original Maaseh Hadlaka. We find this very clearly in Tosfos writes in Sukkah, Daf Chav Zayin, if I'm not mistaken, where the Gemara over there has a machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. It's just a side point to address your question. The Gemara says over there, machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, whether a person has to sit in one sukkah for all the days of sukkahs, or is a person allowed to hop around and go to different sukkahs every single night of sukkahs. So Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion, which obviously we do not paskin like him. We assume I'm allowed to eat one meal in this sukkah, one meal in another sukkah. Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that a person has to eat all the days of sukkahs in one sukkah. So ask Tosis an obvious kasha. So what happens if a person's sukkah falls down in the middle of sukkah? So wind comes, blows it down. So what are you going to tell me? The rest of the days of sukkahs, I should go. It's better that I should go the rest of the days of sukkahs, according to Rabbi Elazar, and not sit in sukkah? Is that feasible? How can that be? So Tosis writes, obviously, according to Rabbi Elazar, the halacha is, if my sukkah blows down in the wind, if I go ahead and I rebuild it with the same exact materials that the first sukkah was up with, So that's called the Hemshech of the first Maisa Binyan Sukkah. That's considered a Hemshech of the first Sukkah that I had. So the same would be over here. If I lit a long candle and it went out and there's still more of the candle left, so that's called a Hemshech of the first Maisa Hadlaka. So we would tell a person, Kapsa Ein Zakuk, well, you're not Mechuyev, but if you go ahead and you light it, that's considered a continuation of your original Maisa Hadlaka. But if, let's say, the candle tips over and it falls in, whatever happens, and now the candle's not there anymore, it gets ruined. Or sometimes you have the floaty wicks, and they drown, and you have to put in a new one, or whatever. So then we assume, kapsa ein zakukla. If it caught fire, and you lit it already, then we assume your maisa hadlaka is over, and the Torah was never mechayiv me to go ahead, or the chacham were never mechayiv me to go ahead and do a maisa mitzvah so many times in order to be mechayiv my mitzvah. You're raising an interesting point. I have to think about it. But this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and Tafrei Shayin Gimel Siv Beis, that kapsa ein zakukla even on Friday afternoon. Ask the Taz, what do you mean? How can you compare the two situations? The Taz says, kapsa ein zakukla during the week, that's talking about a case where a person lights, and it was burning once Tzeisak HaChavim came, so it already burned a little bit. But over here, if you're going to tell me kapsa ein zakukla on Friday afternoon, how can that be? How can you tell me kapsa ein zakukla Friday afternoon? There was no point after Tzeisak HaChavim when my candles were actually lit. So this is the machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch and the Taz. Is a person mekayim his mitzvah if his candles go out on Friday afternoon before Tzeis HaKochavim? So if you look in the Chayyadam writes, a person should try and go ahead and light again without a bracha. Now how do I do that? Wasn't I Mekabel Shabbos? So it says the Mishabur B'Shem the Prima Gadim, if a person already was Mekabel Shabbos, which is probably the case with most of us, we light candles and go straight to Shul. So if we were already Mekabel Shabbos, the Mishabur says, Yomar LaChaver Yisrael, you should go tell your friend, another fellow Jew, who is not yet Mekabel Shabbos, to go and light it again for you. Now, what is that all about? So that is based on a Tosis and Masechah Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. That Bizman Tosefa Shabbos, we assume there's no Isra of Amir Li Yisrael. Okay? Obviously, on Shabbos is an Isra of Amir Li Yisrael because the Yisrael is not allowed to do Malacha, just like I'm not allowed to do Malacha. But in Tosefa Shabbos, Tosis has a chiddush, there's no Isra Amir Li Yisrael. Now this is a big discussion when it comes to the second day of Yontif for a Ben Chutz La'aretz who's an Eretz Yisrael. Right? A Ben Eretz Yisrael doesn't keep second day of Yontif. Ben Chutz La'aretz, many have the psak that they do keep second day of Yontif in Eretz Yisrael. So am I allowed to ask a Jewish Israeli to do malacha for me on the second day of Yontif? For him it's not a malacha, for me it is. Big discussion. But over here, this is not a discussion. This is a clear-cut halacha in Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see in a minute, that when it comes to Tosefa Shabbos on a regular week, if I'm a Kabbalah Shabbos early, and then I realize that I forgot to put up the challenge, or I forgot to do something, or I didn't light Shabbos candles, or in this case, the Mishnah Berurah says in this case, where a person had his candles lit, but they went out, so we would assume that it's mutter to go ask another Jew to do malacha for me, bizman Tosefas. Let's see the Tosis in Shabbos, Kufnon Aleph. Number two, says the Tosis, Mehash Aminon. From this specific Gemara in Shabbos Kufnon Aleph, if you look it up, we learn, the Yisrael Shekibah Lav Shabbos Kodem Shecha Shecha. Yisrael who decides to be Mekabel Shabbos very early. Mutter Lomali Yisrael Chaver Lassus Lom Malacha Plonis, Hol Vihinasus Beheter Lo Osa Osa. I'm allowed to go and ask another Jew to do Malacha for me, even though I was already Mekabel Shabbos on myself. Vidakali Yisrael Chaver Mutter. Says Tosis, it's not to be confused. A person would not be allowed to go ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for him then. Person would only be allowed to go and ask a Jewish person to go ahead and do malacha for him. Interesting halacha. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Samach Gimel Sif Yud Zayin, which is number 3, the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, halacha l'maisa. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Omer, Shemisha Kibel Alav Shabbos Kodem Chashecha, Mutter Loma Yisrael Chaver Lassus Loma Lacha. Shulchan Aruch paskins, a clear-cut halacha, just like this Tosa says in Shabbos Kufnon Aleph, if a person forgot to put up the challenge and he was Mekabel Shabbos early, he's allowed to go ahead and ask another Jew who is not yet Mekabel Shabbos to go do a malacha for him, to put up his challenge. And therefore, the Ramah even finishes off, Mutter lehanos melosa malacha b'Shabbos. Not only am I allowed to ask him to do some malacha, I forgot to turn my car off, so he's allowed to turn it off. I'm even allowed to have hana. I'm even allowed to ask him to put up the challenge for me, to open, to turn on the fire, to light my Shabbos candles. I'm allowed to enjoy the malacha. I'm allowed to have hana from it, but kosher came in matzah Shabbos. And then, similarly, says the Ramah, Misha ma'achar l'espal b'matzah Shabbos. Let's say a person is mekabel tosefa Shabbos in the other direction. He's mekabel extra Shabbos, he keeps Rabbeinu Tam zman. Everyone else comes out from Shabbos much earlier than him. Osha mamshes hudasa balayla, mutter lama l'chaber Yisrael shekvar hispalo, v'hivdil lasas lo malachto, l'hadlok roneris or l'vashalo, u'mutter lehenos v'lechol mimalachto. So says the Ramah, this would apply in both directions. Number one, if a person was mekabel Shabbos early, and he realizes if he got to do some sort of malacha, if he got to turn the lights on, if he got to set the Shabbos clock, I'm allowed to ask another Jew to do that. And similarly, says the Rama, if a person keeps Tosefa Shabbos in the other direction, if he keeps late Rabbeinu Tam's man, he's allowed to ask someone who already made Havdalah to do malacha for him. Yeah.
Is this a look-for-look type of thing that you worry that you're going to tell him that if it is Shabbos? Or is it just a halacha type? In other words, is he doing this because that if you're afraid that you're going to tell a guy to do it when it's before Shabbos, you might get to tell the guy after Shabbos, while Yisroel you never would tell, would never do it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm asking, is this a look-for-look type of thing?
Interesting.
That's why he's having that you can tell he, because otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Right, why should we be more machmir?
Right. Shabbos starts,
interesting idea. No, Tosfos does say that for a guy it's usher, but Tosfos doesn't explain why. Tosfos just says, "Kol davar she'eino oisa, eino omer l'goy v'oisa." Why not? So he's explaining maybe it's a loy plug. Interesting. Could be. Could be. Interesting svar. I don't know. So that's with regard to that. So that's the first issue we discussed this evening, that if a person has Hanukkah candles that go out before Shabbos even sets in, we assume that he is not mechuyev to relight them, just like during the week, he is not mechuyev to relight his candles. Now, let's talk about issue number two. Is a person, let's just give a little bit of background before we get into the shaila. We are all very used to hearing that a person has to light Hanukkah candles for 30 minutes, right? Everyone's used to that 30 minutes, so you're allowed to put the candles out after 30 minutes. That is not such a simple concept. What does 30 minutes come from? Pursuing Nisa. If you look in the Rambam writes in number 4 on the sources, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Dalet Halacha Hey. My father told me Rav Soloveitchik used to make this diuk, and he later found that the Bnei Yisoschar has a sefer on Halacha that makes the same exact diuk and says the same shot in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Madlik v'holech ad shetichla regel min ashuk. The Rambam says a person should light candles and have them lit ad shetichla ha regel min ashuk until people stop wandering around in the streets. V'kama hu zman zeh? How long is that time for ad shetichla regel min ashuk? How long do people hang around the streets after it gets dark? Says the Rambam, kimo chatzi sho, yes sir. So if Soloveitchik was medayik, what does it mean, kimo chatzi sho? What do you mean, is it a half hour or is it not a half hour? What's kimo chatzi sho? The Rambam is very careful with his lashon. So what does he mean over here, kimo chatzi sho? I have to light my candles somewhere around the half an hour. So Rav Soloveitchik was medayik, no, that's because in the days of the Chacham, in the days of the Rambam, when there were no electric lights outside, so the maximum amount of time that a person spent outside after it got dark was a half an hour. After a half hour, there was nothing to do outside. You couldn't get around. So therefore, in those days, Mishum Persume Nisa, the minimum shear that you had to light your candles was 30 minutes. However, nowadays, when we have people roaming around the streets, it depends where you live, but let's say you live, I don't know, on a given block in Lawrence, in this neighborhood, in Farakaway, what should we assume? 10 o'clock? When do people stop roaming on a regular, quiet street? 10 o'clock, 10:30, still people driving up and down, right? So then, me'ikra din, a person would have to have his candles lit until 10:30. It's not a half an hour. The shear of a half an hour was in the days of Chazal, when no one was on the streets, but nowadays, when we have people on the streets, definitely where I live in Washington Heights, where we have people roaming around the streets all the time in the jungle. What?
You change it by neighborhood?
Sure it does. Sure.
You know, it's a neighborhood too far up where people go to sleep at 10 o'clock, that's the end.
Yeah.
Your neighborhood, Washington Heights, where people go to sleep at 12?
They don't go to sleep by us. Yeah. Absolutely. So Me'ikar Adin, you have to have your candle. This is not a chumrah. This is Me'ikar Adin. You need to have the candles lit. In fact, the Magen Avraham writes in Shulchan Aruch in the other direction, but you can take it in this direction as well. Says the Magen Avraham, if a person, let's say, was planning on lighting at, I don't know, let's say Shkia is 5 o'clock. I'm just giving round numbers. So Shkia is 5 o'clock, this Man Adlak is 5 o'clock, let's say, right? Let's assume. And a person was planning on getting home from work at 10 to 5, and he's going to light his candles for a half an hour, and that's when it gets dark outside. That's when no one's roaming around the streets anymore. At 5:30, he's going to light half-hour candles. He gets stuck in a traffic jam, and he ends up getting home at 5:15. So he only has 15 minutes left until people stop roaming around the streets. Says the Magen Avraham, he only has to light 15-minute candles. Why? Because the whole mitzvah is atchetichla regel min ashuk. There's no mitzvah of a half an hour. The mitzvah is a person has to light as long as there are people hanging around the street. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, if you get home late and there's only another 10-15 minutes until people stop roaming the streets, person would not be mechuyev to light longer than 15 minutes. So take that in our direction. Take that in our direction. If we have people roaming around the streets for a lot later than 15 minutes, a lot later than a half an hour, so a person me'ikar adin has to make sure that his candles burn that entire period of time. Now,
such a length of parsu menisa? Who says that you're obligated to do 10 hours worth of parsu menisa? Why don't you do parsu menisa? You're yaitzer. That's it.
I mean, the zman the Gemara says that shetichla regel menashuk, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's why they quote from the Brisker Rav. They quote from the Brisker Rav what you were saying about depending on the neighborhood. The Brisker Rav apparently in the beginning years lived right across the street from a movie theater in Yerushalayim, right when he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So the people used to be frequenting that block till 1 o'clock in the morning. The Brisker Rav made sure to have his candles lit, Meikar Adin, until 1 o'clock in the morning, till the theaters were locked up.
You wouldn't be allowed to do malacha while the candle was lit, then.
No, so the minig is that Nashim don't do malacha
right.
While... yeah, we're not even so machmer on that. Whatever. It's,
the 5 o'clock was shkia, and people would all be roaming around till 5:30, so it would mean till people walk through. It doesn't mean that you have to...
Why stop walking around.
Why does it have to be till people... It was just giving you a shear of how long...
Atshetichla means when they stop. Atshetichla regel menashuk, till it's the end of people walking around the marketplace. That's what the words mean.
But I would assume that was half an hour.
Exactly, right. So that's why the Magen Avraham says...
Why would you say today it has to be longer?
Because nowadays when we have electric lights outside and people are roaming up and down the streets till much later, so the Zman about Shetichla Regel Menashuk is much later. It's not a half an hour after Shkia. It's much later. Yeah?
Taking that same score, if someone gets home from work at 8 o'clock, there's no shear.
There is no shear.
According to what you're saying,
right.
Right. If we held that just a half hour, then you just come home to light a candle last 3 minutes. If you guys...
You might not be yotze because there's no pesumah nisa. There's nothing. Exactly. What do you mean? If a guy gets home 1 o'clock in the morning, it's a big shayla if he's yotze mishum pesumah nisa. What? All right. So nowadays we light mostly for the b'nei bayis. So you would still light because you still have the ikar mitzvah of b'nei bayis who are going to see... What? You don't need a shear of half an hour.
And a
chanami. Yeah.
The tails candles would be good.
But, exactly. They're good for something. Yeah. What? Right, so an
echanami. They said that the reason why you still light if it's late and people aren't in the street anymore is
right.
The B'nai Bias. Right.
You're also the part of the B'nai Bias. That's part of it. So here's... What?
If you get home 1 point, doesn't that be something? That's 5 minutes to show.
Yeah, you try that someone else should be there. Let's say a single person lives by himself. So then what do? You're going to tell him he doesn't have to light candles? Hard to believe, right? Okay, so let's talk about an interesting shaila. So let's say we have just established that we have Me'ikar Adin, we have a Chiyuv Bizman Hazeh to light the candles until, let's say, argument's sake, till 10 o'clock at night, right? Let's take, for argument's sake, we can assume till 10 o'clock at night there are people roaming around the regular street. So a person has to have his candles lit till 10 o'clock at night. Is there any hider mitzvah to have candles that burn until 1 o'clock in the morning? If Atshetichla Regel Menashuk, my whole house goes to sleep at 10 o'clock, my street is sleeping at 10 o'clock, is there any hider mitzvah to have candles lit until 1 o'clock in the morning? So I would have said, absolutely, why not? So there's an interesting Turi Evan in Chagiga Dav Zayin, where the Turi Evan picks up on the following question. Is there any hider mitzvah to have tzitzis that go down to my knees, let's say? There's a certain shear that the Gemara says in Menachos, how long a person's tzitzis have to be. So let's say once I have that shear, is there any hider mitzvah to have longer tzitzis? Sometimes you see yeshiva bachim with very long tzitzis. Is there any reason to do that? So the Turi Evan writes that he thinks he has a raya that there is no hider mitzvah in doing such a thing. There is no such inyum. Why? He says because every day we say the Mishnah, Elu dvarim she'en lahem shear. What does that mean? There are certain mitzvahs that the Torah told me the minimum amount of that mitzvah that a person has to do is X. But more than that is even better. Elu dvarim she'en lahem shear. The following is the list. Says the Turi Evan, it doesn't say in that list tzitzis. So he says, it says hapeyav, habikurim, it says all these different things. You want to give more, you get more schar, you get a fatter kima mitzvah, it's better and better. However, he says, to have longer tzitzis, we don't find such a thing. So therefore he says, since it's left out from the list over there, it must be that the Torah told me there's a certain shear that your tzitzis have to be. Any longer, you don't gain anything, you don't lose anything, there's nothing special to it. Yeah.
It means quantity.
What?
It means quantity, not length.
Elu dvarim she'en lahem shear means no. Means quantity, right.
Quantity.
So this is also quantity.
Not as a length.
That's quantitative.
Oh, you wouldn't say a lulav, you need a big lulav.
Oh, so one second, we're going to get to that. What? Okay, we'll get to lulav. Okay, we'll get to this in 1 second. So this is in terms of the longer tzitzis, that's what the Turi Evan writes. In fact, the Maariv Tzchias takes the Turi Evan's comment pretty seriously, and he says, how can you say that? The Gemara says in Gittin Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, and the sugya is about the Churban. So the Gemara says there was someone by the name of Ben Tzitzis HaKesses. So why was his name Ben Tzitzis HaKesses? So the Gemara says because he was Mr. Tzitzis, he used to wear tzitzis all over the place, he was a very wealthy man, and he used to go and hang around in the parliament and the government. He was a very well-liked man, very well-connected, and his name therefore was Ben Tzitzis HaKesses because his tzitzis used to drag on the ksusos, on the floors and on the, what do you call it, on the red carpets in the parliament. So, ask the Maariv Tzchias, you see, obviously, from the fact that Chacham gave him the nickname of Ben Tzitzis HaKesses, must be that he had some sort of very special schus because he was Mahadur in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So, the answer has to be that it can't be that the Gemara means that his tzitzis were dragging on the floor, don't we know? The Shulchan Aruch tells us in our Chaim Simon Chaf Aleph that a person whose tzitzis drag on the floor is a bizayna tzitzis. You're not allowed to do that. So Elamai, you have to say what it means. The Achredim explained that obviously what the Gemara means when his name was Ben Tzitzis HaKesses means he had no conscience, he had no problem with the fact that he was wearing his tzitzis, that he showed his Yiddishkeit, even though he was hanging around with the government, he was a politician, but he wore his yarmulke, he wore his tzitzis, everything was fine. So that's what the Gemara means. It doesn't mean that his tzitzis were hanging around, dragging on the floor. So when it comes to this, if we accept what the Turi Yavin says by tzitzis, it would seem that since Neres Chanukah is left out of the list, I would assume Neres Chanukah also, there's no reason to have them lit longer than the shear that a person needs. Again, we just established that a person needs the shear to be, let's say, till 10 o'clock at night, Me'ikar Adin. But longer than that, there's no reason why I need to have my candles lit until 1 o'clock in the morning. In fact, the Magen Avraham writes in Tafresh Ayin Beis Sif Gimel that there is no mitzvah to have more oil than what I need to be mekayim my mitzvah, because he doesn't explain the because, but maybe it's based on this Turi Evan, that there is no extra hiddur mitzvah to have my candles lit longer. However, says the Magen Avraham, if I'm lighting from wax, which we'll get to in a minute, the controversy between wax and olive oil, if I'm lighting wax candles, the Magen Avraham says it's much nicer if I go to a wedding and they have tall wax candles instead of those little Tells Chanukah candles that we give out on in the mail on Chanukah.
That's why
right?
It's 20 minutes.
What?
That's why it's only 30 minutes.
Oh. So obviously the Magen Avraham says it's much fancier, right? It is much fancier to have taller candles than to have smaller candles, right? Obviously if you go to a nice place. So the Magen Avraham says, like you're saying, it's not a hiddur mitzvah to have them lit from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning. It's a hiddur mitzvah that when I light at 5 o'clock, it's going to look fancier, it's going to look nicer. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, there is a distinction. If I'm just lighting oil, there's no reason to have extra oil past 10 o'clock. If I'm lighting wax, it makes my mitzvah at 5 o'clock much nicer because I'm lighting with a beautiful candle that's much taller. That's what the Magen Avraham writes as well in Hilchos Dalad Midim and Tafresh Mem Beis. The Magen Avraham says there is something beautiful to having a tall lulav or to having tall arabas because it makes my entire mitzvah nicer. Even though there's a certain shear that the Chacham said the lulav has to be or the arabas have to be or the hadassim, but he says it's more beautiful if I take a taller one which looks a little bit more distinguished. So that's what he writes the same thing over here when it comes to Neiros Chanukah. So now, which leads us to our next point, what is the story with what type of oils we are allowed to use? Is there any reason to use Shemen Zayis? Is there any reason to use wax? And let's get into this for a couple of minutes. If you look in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim Tafresh Ayin Gimel Sif Aleph, which is number 5, the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows, Kal HaShmanim V'Hapsilos, says the Shulchan Aruch, all the Shmanim and Psilos, all the oils and all the wicks, Ksherim L'Ner Chanukah, Mishabur points out over there, V'Afilu HaPsilim L'Hadakas Ner HaShabbos, even the ones that I can't use for Halakas Ner HaShabbos, I am able to use for Halakas Ner HaChanukah. Now I'll ask you a riddle. What's the one type of oil, this is not in Shulchan Aruch, but what's the one type of oil that we would be allowed to use for Shabbos and not for Chanukah? Any takers? What? Oh, so there is one oil. It's not in Bamei Mavlikin. There is only one oil, possibly. Many of the Achronim say this. I saw today that Shlomo Zalman writes in a tshuva that he disagrees. I didn't have a chance to read through the whole thing. But Alpi Pashtus, the Achronim are correct when they say that Shemen Shel Shvius, I would not be allowed to use for Chanukah, but I would be allowed to use for Shabbos. Why? Because there is a Xeris HaKasid by Shvius, La'achla v'lo lahefsid, I'm only allowed to use the Peir Shvius for my real purposes of getting Hanah and not to be wasted. So by Halakas Ner Shabbos, a person enjoys them. So you would be allowed to use you would be allowed to use Shemen Shvius. By Neris Chanukah, we paskin, So there's Tamar Shlo'or. I'm not allowed to get Hanar from them. So therefore, I wouldn't be allowed to use Shemen from Shvius oil, because Shemen from Shvius oil has to be used, La'achla, it has to be used for my enjoyment. Anyway, back to the Shulchan Aruch. What? Right. Right. So back to the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. I'm allowed to use anything. Says the Rambam, Miu, Shemen Zayis Mitzvah and Amuvchar. Quoting the Mardechai, quoting the Ma'aril, says the Rama, Shemen Zayis is the Hidr Mitzvah. It's nicer to use olive oil. Vim ain Shemen Zayis Matsui. Says the Rama, what if a person doesn't have olive oil in his community? Mitzvah Bishmanim Sha'aran Zachmanaka. I should use whatever lights nicely. However, the Rama ends off, V'noagim Medina Seilu, says the Rama, we have the minig in Krakow, Lahadlik B'neir Shal Shaiva Ki Oran Salol Kemo Shemen. Says the Rama, I prefer the minig to light with wax candles, not with oil. Interesting. Now, where does this come from, that the Hidr mitzvah is to light with Shemen Zayis, and why is the Rama saying that nowadays we don't have that practice? So there are three reasons, Iker reasons, which we find to why a person should be Mahadir after Shemen Zayis, after olive oil, and we'll see in a few minutes why the Rama chooses not to say like that halacha l'maisa. Reason number one is because the Gemara says in Shabbos, that Shemen Zayis is Tzalil Nehorot Tvei. The Gemara tells us that Shemen Zayis lights more beautifully than other things. So, therefore, says the Rama, it happens to be, it's not correct. How many of us light Shemen Zayis, and you put those floaty wicks in, and they go out after 5 minutes, and they drown, and then you have to put them in again, and you can't get them to light well, and whatever. What? You don't use that, right? So everybody used the pre-made. Oh. Everybody uses the pre-made, but I've used the pre-made, and they don't always, they also don't always work. Fine, so says the Rama, we have scientific experiments that we all do in our homes every single year, that, obviously, wax candles light much nicer than oil. So therefore the Rama says, even though the Gemara says that Shemen Zayis lights in a much nicer fashion, we all happen to know that that is not the case. Nowadays we have wax candles which light much nicer than Shemen Zayis. Therefore the Rama says that reason would not apply, and he prefers to use the wax candles instead of the Shemen Zayis. Yeah?
No, the reason that it's not because it's lighting, it's no good. It's because you don't know how to make a good wick. I mean, if you made a good wick, you see how beautiful it lights.
Okay, but bottom line, how many people how many people don't know how to do that?
But it's not the Shemen Zayis that's a failure.
Uh-huh.
It's a failure in the wick that you're using.
Uh-huh. Okay, whatever it is, it doesn't light as nicely. So that's why the Rama holds that that practice is not so preferable, and he says he would rather the minig of using shaiva. A second reason, which is a little bit al derech ha-machshava, is because we say in Al-Anisim that one of the intentions that the Yevanim has was la-shkicham tarasecha. The whole point of their starting up with Klal Yisrael was they should forget the Torah. And we know the Gemara tells us that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was the semel, it was the Makar HaChachma. That's like the Gemara tells us in Mabba Basra Chafei. HaRotel HaChkim, someone who wants to become a big Talmud Chacham, Yadrim, he should face more south. He should face more Darum when he davened Shemona Esrei. Why? Because the Gemara tells us that the menorah used to be in the south side of the Beis HaMikdash. So a person should face his energies, he should be mispelled to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he wants to become a great Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says in Daf Nun Zayin in Brachos, HaRosh HaMen Zayis B'Chalom, someone who sees olive oil in a chalom, yitzap la Torah. He should realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam sending him a message that you will one day become a big Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says in Horias Daf Yud Gimel, person who drinks Shemen Zayis is going to, it's better for his ikar and it's good for him to remember Torah. Putting all this together, so they want to say this is the antithesis to Lashkicham Torah Secha. The Yevanim wanted to make us forget the Torah, so we symbolically use Shemen Zayis to show that we're stronger, we're better than ever before, and we would like to strengthen the institution of Liman HaTorah and our status of Tamid Chacham. Okay, so that's a nice idea, Al Derech HaMachshava, which generally we don't pass on halachos based on these type of nice cutesy things. So again, that would not be a reason for the Rama to paskin the way he paskin. So if you look, the third reason al pi halacha is in the Sharat Zion, he quotes from the Maharal. The Maharal writes that there is a reason, this is quoted in all the halacha svarim from the Maharal, that the Maharal believes that there's an inyan to have dumya de Beis HaMikdash. That the same way in the Beis HaMikdash they used to use Shemen Zayis, so too we should use Shemen Zayis. Now, let's just go off for a minute and look at a particular Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, in number 6 on the sources, Says the Gemara. Tani Rami Bar Chama. Psilus Ushmanim Shamar Chachamim Eim Adlikim Mehem B'Shabbos Eim Adlikim Mehem Migdash. The Gemara tells us, anything that you are not allowed to use for Shabbos candles, they were not allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdash for the menorah. Ask the Achronim. What are you talking about? All the candles that you're allowed to use for Shabbos, that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you're not allowed to use for the Beis HaMikdash? What do you mean? What are you allowed to use for the Beis HaMikdash? Only Shemen Zayas. Only Shemen Zayas.
So what?
Oh, so 1 second. So we'll get to that in a minute. But you're only allowed to use Shemen Zayis. So what does the Gemara mean over here? All the oils and wicks that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you're also not allowed to use for the Beis HaMikdash. Of course not. The Torah says Shemen Zayis Zach. What kind of Havmina is that? So the Achronim are bothered by this. So the Rosh Hash says, yeah, the Gemara really means the wicks. Any wicks you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you're not allowed to use for the Beis HaMikdash. But really, it just says Shmanim Upsilas together. The Gemara always lumps them together, and it's Lav Dafka. Okay, could be. Svasemis has his own interpretation. The Mitzvah Eson in the back of the Gemara explains that maybe what it's talking about is, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the Gemara says Shlomo HaMelech added many more menorahs into the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, who said those menorahs need to have Shemen Zayis? Maybe those menorahs could be lit with anything. Put a light bulb in it. So says the Mitzvah Eson, maybe that's what the Gemara means, that Kalash Manu Mupsilos, that are puzzled for Neres Shabbos because they don't smell good or because there's something wrong with the way they light, so you weren't allowed to use those even for Shlomo HaMelech's menorahs also. Okay, be it as it may, bottom line is, in the Beis HaMikdash we know they had to use Dafka Shemen Zayis. So therefore, says the Maharal, based on that principle, like the Pasuk tells us, Shemen Zayis Zach, based on that, we should also try to be Mehader to use Shemen Zayis when we light the Chanukah menorah. We already find in the Rishonim, this is not really the Maharal's Chiddush, because we already find this in the Rishonim, that they do say that there are similarities between the Hadlakas HaMenorah in the Beis HaMikdash and our mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah in our homes. Now, where do we find that? So the Ran and the Rashba write in Masechta Shabbos that the reason why we paskin Aser L'Hishtamish La'ora, the reason why we paskin that it's Aser for a person to gain any sort of benefit from the Chanukah candles is because Dumya the Migdash. The same way in the Beis HaMikdash there's an Iser Mi'ila, a person is not allowed to have Hanah from the property of Hekdish, so too in our times we are not allowed to have Hanah from our Chanukah candles. A second example that we find is, there is a personality who was known as a great Mekubal. He was the son of the Ravid. His name was Reb Yitzchak Sagi Nahar, Ben HaRavid. That's the way he's known. So they have an Aksav Yad from Reb Yitzchak Sagi Nahar, which the Maharal says as well, the Stechemed quotes this from the Maharal, that a person must light his Chanukah candles dafka in a menorah. Let's say I use wax candles and I decide to melt them to the table, or I decide to melt them to the windowsill. So is that good enough? So the Maharal and this one of these Rishonim pick up on this idea and say, no, we need Dumya the Migdash. It has to be just like the Beis HaMikdash. They lit the Dafka in a menorah, in a kli. So too, in order for me to be Mekayim my mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah, I have to light the Dafka in a kli. My father likes to say over that Rav Soloveitchik used to come every week from Boston, and very often he forgot his menorah. He didn't bring it on Chanukah. Whatever. Absent-minded the professor. So very often he would take his candles and just melt them onto the windowsill. So every year my father says over in Shir, this sheet of the Maharal, that a person should be Mahadar Dumya the Migdash to have a keli. So some young yeshiva guy heard my father say this in a Shir and went to Soloveitchik. He said, Rabbi Shechter said in Shir, you're not Mekayim your mitzvah because you're not using a kli. What? No, he just did it straight to the thing. So Soloveitchik said, go back to Rabbi Shechter and tell him he is crazy. So my father likes to say that story over. Anyway, so that's another chiddush that the Maharal has, that since we need Dumya the Migdash, therefore, number one, we need Shemen Zayis. Number two, we need to have dafka that a person should light in a menorah, in a chanukiah. He shouldn't just light it straight on the windowsill. However, if you look in the Pnei Yeshua there, he says, I don't understand where all these Rishonim and Achronim are coming from. I think they're absolutely wrong. He says, the Gemara says, Beferish, V'chi ner kedusha yeshba. The Gemara says, do you think that our Chanukah candles have any sort of kedusha? Do you think it's like the Beis HaMikdash? Of course they don't have kedusha. The Gemara says, as a simple understanding, it's a given that we all know that the Neris of Chanukah do not have any sort of kedusha. They're nothing. There's a mitzvah midrabanan that a person is supposed to light Neris Chanukah, but that has nothing to do with the Ner of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, some of the Achronim point out, when it comes to the Neiros of the Beis HaMikdash, if the Neiros go out, so does a person have to relight them? Of course, Kapsa Zakakla, there's a mitzvah, Lahalos Ner Tamid, the Ner in the Beis HaMikdash always has to be, I'm sorry, Lahalos Ner Tamid,
yeah.
is not by the menorah. There is a mitzvah beferish that the menorah has to be lit all the time. However, when it comes to Neres Chanukah, we don't say that you have to relight it. Kapsa ein zakukla. So what are you talking about? The Pnei Yeshua says this connection between halakas ha-menorah in the Beis HaMikdash and halakas menorah in our homes is not to be compared at all. In fact, Rav Moshe writes in Masechah Shabbos in the Dibros Moshe, he says, if you look at the Shemen Zayis that was kosher for the Beis HaMikdash, what kind of Zayis was that? Only kusis. Rashi writes on Chumash, what does that mean? The first drop out of every olive. Nu? So even those who are mahadur to light with olive oil nowadays, do they have Shemen Zayis kusis? Of course not. You can't buy that anywhere. You can't purchase it. So what are you talking about? You don't have Dumi the Mikdash at all. You don't at all have any similarity, living or dead, between our Halakas HaMenorah and the Neiros of the Halakas HaMenorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, many Achronim believe that, like the Rama said, there is really no reason to be Machmer to have Shemen Zayis, and on the contrary, the Rama writes, it's more of a hider to light with wax. Why? Because wax lights in a much more beautiful way, and wax, we know, is going to have a much more everlasting Pursuma Nisa than the Shemen Zayis will have. Yeah. I mean, the Pnei Yeshua points out there are so many holes within this connection. The Maariv Tzchias writes, he says, in the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the din? Asur lahadlik miner l'ner or mutar lahadlik miner l'ner? So the Maariv Tzchias writes over there that we know in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, they were allowed to light from one ner to another ner. However, when it comes to Neres Chanukah, a person is not allowed to take the first candle and light the second one, or the second one light the third one. He's not allowed to do that. He says there are so many holes between the dinim of Neres Chanukah and Neres Halakas HaMenorah in the Beis HaMikdash. He just says it seems not reasonable to assume, seems unreasonable to assume that these two halachas are patterned after each other. That's what the Acharonim believe, and that's why the Rama writes, he thinks it's preferable for a person to use wax instead of using Shemen Zayis. When it comes to the Shemen of the menorah that they use in the Beis HaMikdash, we're just going to talk about this issue for a couple of minutes. It's an interesting thing. We know that there was a nes that happened in the times of Chanukah, that there was some sort of extra oil that came. By hook or by crook, Lamaisa, there was a nes. So the Achronim asked, the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank and Reb Zevin quote this in the name of Reb Chaim. My friend Eitan Schnall told me that he's seen in a couple of Svarim that all the children of Reb Chaim claim that their father never said it. Okay, so Zolzana Zay that Reb Chaim never said it, but it's a good kasha anyway. What's the story? Why? I have a hard time believing that, because Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank and Reb Zevin were both pretty reliable and trustworthy. I don't know what's so hard to imagine that Reb Chaim had this question, but be it as it may, they quote B'Shem Reb Chaim that he had the following question. How can you tell me that they were able to light in the days of the Chashmonaim this miraculous oil? Don't we know? The Pasuk says you need Shemen Zayis Zach Kasus Lamar. So, if you have Shemen that's created through a miracle, miraculous oil, is that Shemen Zayis Zach? Is that Shemen Zayis Zach? Oh, so you assume that it started out. So we'll get to that in a minute. But should we assume that something that's created by miracle is not considered like the real thing itself? So let's just bring a couple of interesting examples where we find that Achronim do deal with this question in other contexts. Number one, the Maharital Gazi writes the following. In Bukharis Taf Gimel, the Maharital Gazi writes, Mishem the Tosefta, if I have a behema that is created through Sefer Yetzirah, or if I have a behema that is a totally miraculous animal, so says the Maharital Gazi that does not have a din behema, and a person wouldn't have to give Bechar behema Tahora, he wouldn't have to give Matnas Kahuna, it doesn't have a din behema. And in fact, he doesn't quote, other Achronim quote from the Shalah, if a person has some sort of animal like this, some supernatural animal, a person doesn't need to do Shchita on that animal. Doesn't have a din behema at all. Does not have a din behema. So that's with regard to animals that are created al yidei neis, where you already find a precedent in halacha that it's not considered a behema. Similarly, the Chacham Tzvi writes, and this is not a Chacham Tzvi that no one ever heard of, because the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Chacham Tzvi in the Mishnah Berurah Siman Nun Hei. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the Chacham Tzvi had a suffix. What's the halacha? Is a person able to count a goylem or a fake person as part of the minion? Can he be mitzarev him to a minion or not? Fascinating shadow that the Chacham Tzvi was bothered with. And one of the Achronim, the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah, has a kasha. He says, how could you tell me that a person is able to count for a minion? He says, I'll bring you a raya that he can't count for a minion if he's fake. Why? He's not a real person. Why? He says, because the Gemara tells us in Brachos and in Gittin, the same Gemara, that Rabbi Lezer once came to Shul, and it turns out there was no minion in Shul. So what did he do? So the Gemara says he was a Meshacher Hezeved. Ay, frekti Gemara, how is he allowed to be a Meshacher Hezeved? HaMeshacher Avder Over Ba'asei. Lo Olo Baham Ta'avodah, we have a mitzvah, we have to keep the Avodah, we're never allowed to free them. So the Gemara says, either Esed, the Rabban, whatever, the answer is that for a mitzvah, he was allowed to violate the Isser. Ask the Birkei Yosef, let him create a fake person. Let him create a golem. What's the big deal? Why be over in an Aveira? Why don't you just create a golem and then have him count for the minion? Okay. If we run our world in that type of way, then I guess we have this problem. But for most of us, it's not an issue. So from here, the Birkei Yosef writes that it would seem that the Chacham Tzvi is correct, that if a person is not real, if a person is just a supernatural individual, we would assume he doesn't have a din Adam, and he would not count for a minion. This is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. The Beis Shmuel, in fact, writes in Eben Ezra, Siman Vav, it's on the side of the page in Shulchan Aruch, if a woman is nivala to one of these golems, or to a fake type of person, a person who's really not here, so we would assume that she's not Asura Abayla. Very interesting. So from all these different places, and there's more, from all these different places we find that if something is created al yidei neis, if something happens in a supernatural way, that is not considered like the etzem zach itself. It's not considered like the real thing. So therefore, when it comes to Shem and Zayis, Reb Chaim's kasha is very strong. How could it be that the Chashmonaim lit Shem and Zayis in the Beis HaMikdash? Don't we know that what? Shem and Zayis was a neis, and Shem and Zayis in the Beis HaMikdash has to be real, and it's not the real thing. If it comes through a supernatural way, it's not the real thing itself. In fact, they quote, these Achronim, we talk about these issues, quote, that in the story of Elisha HaNavi, we find that Elisha HaNavi did the nace and he created more oil, so they quote over there, the Radak has the following question, how is Elisha HaNavi allowed to do this? Don't we know he had to be mafish trumas and maizrus? So the Radak over there quotes Bashema Tosefta, interesting, he quotes from the Tosefta, that if a person creates something by a miracle, through some miraculous way, however you know how to do that, so the Radak writes Bashema Tosefta, it's patur from trumas and maizrus. So the Achronim give their own reasons. The reason why is because the whole reason a person has to be mafish trumas and maizrus is to be masak in the food. But over here where it was created, mamish min hashamayim, the whole thing is an ace, so there's no tikkun and everything's perfect the way it is. Okay, be it as it may, whatever the reason is, but...
What was the alternative?
What, by Hanukkah?
They have no other shaman, period.
So don't light. What do you mean? If let's say one year they don't... Let's say one day in the Beis HaMikdash...
They didn't light
anything. Oh, so 1 second. So let's say one day in the Beis HaMikdash... You're raising a good point. Let's say one day in the Beis HaMikdash, they don't have oil. So you're going to tell them to light wax?
No.
Obviously not, right? You're not making the mitzvah.
But they didn't light.
Oh, so...
It never went out.
So 1 second. So let's see that in a second. That's where Reb Chaim writes. So the answer that they write, B'Shem Reb Chaim, is that there was no miracle that more oil came into existence. It's sort of what you're saying. Reb Chaim writes, it's just that the Ribbono Shel Olam put extra special supernatural powers into the oil that was natural, that it should last for 8 days. That's the way Reb Chaim understands what happened in the Neis Chanukah. So therefore, Reb Chaim explains that that was not a violation of the mitzvah of lighting Shem and Zayis Ach Kasus Lamar, because we have a mitzvah to light pure Shem and Zayis that's natural. And that was not violated at all. We actually did light pure Shem and Zayis that was natural. It's just that Hashem gave it extra power that the miracle happened that it was able to last for the span of 8 days. The question begs itself, however, how were they able to actually have hana from this miracle? Don't we know, also for a person to be nehne from a nes? Now, where does this come from? If you look in the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chafei, which is number 7, so the Gemara tells us a story, a very well-known story about Reb Chanina Mendoza. Says the Gemara, one Friday afternoon, Chad Be Shimshi, Chazi Labarte Dehavis Atziva. Reb Chanina Mendoza comes home, and he sees his daughter is very depressed. Amar la biti lemaya tzivas. He asks his daughter, why are you depressed? What's wrong? Amar le, kli shal chometz nischalef li b'kli shal shemen, v'hidlakti mimenu ar l'shabbos. Right? We're all familiar with the story. The girl comes to her father and she says, Reb Chanina Mendoza, I feel terrible that by mistake I filled up the Shabbos candles with vinegar instead of oil, and I lit them for the Shabbos candles. No, I would be jumping for joy. Look what a miracle Hashem did for me. Says the Gemara, Amar la biti mayachoslach. What's the difference? Misha amar la shemet v'yadik, hu amar la chometz v'yadik. Fine, so the candles lit all Shabbos long. Tana, but says the Gemara, Hayadolek v'holach kol yom kulo, ad shehivim mimenu ar la havdala. So the Rashi and the Rishonim explain over there that once Matzah Shabbos came, he put out the fire. He extinguished the fire. Says the Netziv, why? Why didn't you just let it go? Let it go till it burnt out. Why did he bedafka want to turn it out? Says the Netziv, because we know, aser for a person to be nana from a nes. Even though the Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes does nisim for us, it is usher for us to have hana from a nes. Now Rashi writes in Tanis Daf Chav Dalet, what's the reason? Rashi says, because we're concerned, Shema Yinako Lo Mischiyos, if a person is going to use up all of his chusim, if Hashem does a miracle for you, is one thing, but for a person to actually get benefit from that miracle, if he has a choice not to, so we have to be concerned that Yinako Lo Mischiyos, he's going to run out of chusim, because he's deciding to use up the nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give him. So the kasha that is asked here is, how are the Chashmonaim able to use this oil at all? Don't we know it's usher to be nene from Maisa Nisim? And they should have done just like Rab Chanina Bendosa, who on Matzah Shabbos put out the candles right after he no longer needed them any longer. So that was the question that the Achronim asked. So the Chida answers this in his Sefer Nachal Kedumim on Parshas Peshalach. There's a famous teretz from the Chida. When the Chida talks about how is Klal Yisrael allowed to eat the man, don't we know that the man was miraculous food? And that was what was sustaining them through all the years in the Midbar, so how were they able to eat the man? So the Chida answers that if the whole reason why we're not nana from a nes is because Yinakon Lomas Chiyosef, is because we're concerned the person's going to be wiped out from his chusim, so when it comes to Gantz Klal Yisrael, when it comes to a tzibur, so there's nothing to be concerned about. Hashem is never going to wipe out the chusim of the whole tzibur. That's not something that's feasible. Hashem decided to give us a nes, and he's not pinning it on any person. He's not going to take anything away from us. So therefore the Chida writes this chiddush, that when it comes to a tzibur, we have nothing to be concerned about of Yinakon Lomas Chiyosef. Similarly, we find in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah tells us, if a person forgets to say Al HaNisim on Chanukah, so what should he do? He should say, HaRachamon Hu Yasod Lanu Nisim, Kasher Asa, Bayam Mahem, Ken Yasod Bezman Hazeh, something like that, the Ramah says. So the Achronim over there in the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion, they pick up, how can the Ramah say that we should offer such a tefillah? HaRachamon Hu Yasod Lanu Nisim, we're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam should do a nes. What do you mean? Yinakon Lomas Chiyosef? How is a person allowed to ask for a nes? Aren't we concerned Hashem is going to take away our schusim, we're going to take away all of our olam haba with this? So the Achronim answer that no, when it comes to a tzibur, we're asking HaRachamon Hu Yasod Lanu Nisim. This is what they answer from the Bechar Shar in Masechet Shabbos. It's quoted on the page in Shulchan Aruch. We're asking Hu Yasod Lanu. He should do for all of us. It's not for any individual person. So when we're talking about a tzibur, there's no concern of using up the schusim. And similarly, this is the way they explain the Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Tesem at Beis, which is number 8 here, where the Gemara says over there, "B'shasha bana Shlomo es Hamigdash," when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Hamigdash, "Natabo kol minim begadim shal zahav." So he built in the Beis Hamigdash all different types of different golden trees. I think it means v'hayu tuunim peirah shal zahav. And on these trees, they used to have golden apples, golden oranges. U'meham hayu parnasa l'kuhuna. And the Kohanim used to take those oranges and apples and all those golden things, and they used to have hana from them. They used to go and make a business out of it. So the reason why there was no Isser to have hana from those miracles is because that was a miracle that was done for Gantz Klal Yisrael. It was something that was totally supernatural. These golden trees were all of a sudden giving fruit, bearing fruit to golden apples, golden oranges. So therefore, since that was a miracle that was done for Gantz Klal Yisrael, that wasn't something to be concerned about. Menachem Lomas Chiyosef. One last point to make here with regard to this is, and we'll wrap up in a minute, in Masechet Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara tells us, when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, so Hashem did a nes for him, and the Gemara says his immediate response was, Vayichan es Pnei Ir. Yaakov, right away after a miracle is done for him, he runs right away to go and do some sort of communal activity. He's going to better his community, better his neighborhood. He's doing something to help out the community. So why is that? So the Gemara says, because after a person experiences a miracle, his response has to be Yasem Am Tzarechei Rabim. Person has to go ahead and use something from himself to better his general community, to better his general atmosphere. So the question is, what exactly, why is that an appropriate response? What does that have to do with the fact that a miracle was done? So I was discussing with my father this afternoon, and I think I suggested to him possibly the idea is that if the whole reason why a person is not allowed to be nana from a nes is because we're concerned, Shema Yinakon Lo Mischiyosef, maybe he's going to get wiped out. So how does a person get the most chusim? Let him go and give money to a mikvah, where the whole community is going to use. Let him go buy a set of shas that the whole Beis Medrash is going to use. Let him do something. Yasem Am Tzarechei Rabim, the best way to gain chusim after a person feels he's at a loss for chusim, is to go and do something for the general public, where everyone who uses it will be mezakemi. So maybe that's why the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel that the immediate response that Yaakov Avinu has after he gets saved, after a miracle is done to him, his immediate response is Vayichan es Pnei Ir. He goes ahead and he makes sure to to do some sort of community activity to help out other people in order that he himself should get his chusin back. And the same would be for us. If we experience a miracle, we should as well, in turn, give back and do some sort of community help. We should figure out how to gain ourselves schusim again. Just when it comes to Shem and Zayas, there's a very interesting Medrash Agada, which is the last thing on the sheet. Medrash Agada tells us as follows. So why is it Ma Zacha Shem and Zayas Mikal HaShmanim? Why is it that in the schus in the Beis HaMikdash to have lit every single day in the menorah was Dafka Shem and Zayas? Why not anything else? So says the Medrash, Lefisha Ein Shem and Zayas Yotze Ala Yedei Ketisha. The only way to get out Shem and Zayas is to crush the olive, to really hit it hard and get every last drop out of it. Kach says the Medrash, Ein Adam Nochal Chai Olam Haba Ela Mitoch Tzar. The only way that a person is going to actually get himself to Olam Haba, the only way a person is going to be successful in his life and in anything that he tries to get involved with, V'lo Divritor Miskaimen Ela Mitoch Tzar. He says the same way Shem and Zayas, so too is with each and every one of us in our own personal lives, in our spiritual lives, and in our personal lives as well. That a person, if he wants to be successful, has to make sure that he takes the lesson of the Shem and Zayas. The reason we light the Shem and Zayas every day in the Beis HaMikdash is because it's coming to teach us that if a person doesn't realize that things in life have to come through hard work, he will never ever be successful in whatever he's trying to accomplish. And Yiratzon, we should take the Nisim v'Niflos that we all experienced in our lives, obviously most recently, that we all had tremendous miracles, and we should continue to have our Achmonu Yasalanu Nisim for the whole Klal Yisrael, and we should have a Geula Shlema B'mheira V'Yameinu Amen.